Hey guys, Felicia here. Happy Sunday. Before we start the show, I just want to remind you that there are free career management guides that I have created from all the great show content that you have come to know and love. So head on over to trillmba.com, sign up for Career Freebies, and you will have access to all the PDFs that we have created so far and all the new PDFs we're working on now. So head on over to trillmba.com and get your career guides today. Now, let's start the show. Welcome to the Trill MBA Show. I'm your host, Felicia Ann Rose Anuha, aka the trillest MBA you will ever know. And I'm here to help you survive and thrive in corporate America by giving you the truth and being as real as only I can be. Happy Sunday, everybody. Welcome back to the show. So picture it. It's 5 p.m. You are sitting at your desk. You just finished email response 7 of 16 that you need to send out before you leave this mofo today. Your eyes are kind of glazed over as you wonder, how in the hell did I get here? You feel stuck. What if I just quit? Just walk out, leave my badge, laptop, walk out, never look back. You close your eyes, take a deep breath, and remind yourself that Mr. Cooper wants his money on the first of every month, but gives you until the 16th to pay your mortgage payment. You went to school, you got a good job, but you find yourself working to pay bills and student loans, do some travel, and buy a few things mom and them could never afford. I'm supposed to be happy. I did what they told me to do. So why am I not quite happy? Where did I go wrong? You didn't go wrong, sis. You just haven't built your FU fund. And that's what this episode is all about today. We're gonna give you the info you need to think about and work on starting your plan to break free from the corporate plantation. Today, I have a very special guest who has done this for herself. And she is here today to help us get our entire financial lives together. By day, Erica Grant is a marketing and consumer research professional based in Atlanta, Georgia. Currently, Erica is an account director at Focus Vision Worldwide, where she helps brands leverage technology to better connect with and understand their consumers. Prior to joining Focus Vision, Erica held insight roles of increasing responsibility at General Mills, BBDO, Restaurant Brands International, and Time Inc. She holds a BA from Columbia University, that's in New York, y'all, and a Master's in Marketing Research, MMR, from the University of Georgia. And that is all wonderful. And that is the badass that Erica is by day. But what Erica is super passionate about is real estate. She owns 7 rental units, family, of course, because family is everything, and financial freedom. And I am down for that. As an avid member of the FIRE, Financial Independence Retire Early movement, Erica has been financially free since 2015.
Yeah.
And is committed to sharing her story with us in order to help us break free from the corporate plantation. Hey, 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 hey. Erica, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so happy you're here. Now, before we get started, I have to ask you, as I ask all my guests, do you agree to keep it all the way trill?
100%. All the way trill.
All right. Welcome to the show, Erica. We're about to get into it. All right, girl. So now, what is this FIRE movement, this whole financial independence, retire early? Like, Erica, tell us about that.
So the FIRE movement is a movement that came out of a book by a woman named Vicki Robbins called Your Money or Your Life. Mm-hmm. And really, it breaks down this idea that you do not have to work until you're 65 to retire. You can make different choices and retire early and be financially independent. And so really, it's a group of people, I would say probably numbering in the millions now, mostly millennials and Generation Xers, who said, you know what, I'm not going to sit chained to a desk for the rest of my life so that I might be able to retire at 65 and hobble my way around traveling. I'm going to save my money and make smart choices now so that I can kind of say F you and retire whenever I want to. And that could be as early as 30. It could be as early as 40. And it's really just about making conscious choices where you're choosing your life over a traditional 9-to-5 job.
Well, that sounds good to me. Where do I sign up? No. So before we get into the FIRE movement, Erica origin story, let's start out from the beginning, like from the womb of your mother. Tell us where you're originally from and where you grew up and what your childhood was like.
So I'm originally from the upper Midwest, Minneapolis, born and raised. Mm-hmm. And my parents were middle class. I'm from a solidly middle class family, not wealthy, no inheritance. But I did have really strong values of work hard, save your money. My parents set a good example for me about making choices that gave security, but not caring about being flashy. Mm-hmm. We always lived in modest places compared to their friends, drove modest cars. You know, my parents were driving the Toyota and the Dodge Caravan
right. When
their friends were pushing Mercedes, but that allowed them to, you know, help me pay for college and send me to parochial school. And they really showed me how to prioritize what you put your money into. And it was things that felt good rather than things that looked good. And I think that's the best lesson I got from my parents. And it helps that my dad is an accountant, so I did learn how to do my own taxes. I remember I was 18 in college, and he flew up to New York and like made me do my taxes for the first time. And you know, so I, from the very early age, it was this idea of you can do this, and you have the tools you need to understand your money and take ownership of it. And so that's something I think is one of the most valuable things my parents gave me.
That's what's up. So you basically, you're just a round the way girl. Like, you're like all of us out here trying to get it how we live it, right? Like,
absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So it's not like your parents were like, here's a trust fund and good luck. Well,
no.
This makes me very happy to hear, because it's not like you started out with some like huge financial advantage. You started out, you went to school, got a good job, and you just saved your money.
That's exactly it. And that's what I really wanted to share my story, because it's not anything complicated. It's not rocket science. I graduated making $35,000 a year living in New York City.
Ooh.
And was still able to buy an apartment within, I think I bought my first apartment, I was 24, 25, and bought that place for $100,000 in Harlem, sold it for $400,000. But again, I was making $35,000 when I graduated, but I still managed to save, you know, I think I had a down payment of $25,000 to buy that first place. Mm-hmm. And it was just from scrimping, saving. And I still went out. I still did what I needed to do, but we just made sure we got there before 11 so I could get in free.
Right.
I was very friendly at the bar so I could get my free drinks. You know?
Right.
But just work with what you have, but I really feel like you never are too broke to save. And this is possible. Financial freedom is possible for anyone starting anywhere if you make strategic choices. And one of the key choices I made that I think helped escalate or kind of increase my financial wealth are really two key choices. The first would be moving into a more quantitative career. So I started off as an English major, thought I wanted to be a journalist, and then shifted my career into market research, which just quite honestly pays a lot better, but it's a lot of the same skill sets of being curious, asking questions, and then you just have to layer statistics onto that. Mm-hmm. But making that small shift took me from $35,000 a year to making six figures within a five-year span. And now I make a very healthy salary and I love my job. You know, I could have stuck to that original path, which I don't think I would have made as much money, but I made a shift. And really increasing your income does help a lot in terms of reaching financial freedom. Mm-hmm. And then for me, the other big, huge, I would say, choice in this path was choosing to buy real estate as soon as I could. Mm-hmm. So that first apartment in New York, I never thought I was going to be a real estate investor or a landlord. I was just like, I don't want to be paying rent to somebody else. I'd rather pay a mortgage.
Right.
And so I got a bargain down, got this two-bedroom co-op in Harlem for $100,000. And then when life happened, I ended up taking in a roommate. And then, you know, that person was paying my entire mortgage and then some. And then I went to grad school in Georgia and just never officially moved back to the apartment. And all of a sudden, I was a landlord. And that apartment ended up making me quite a bit of money every month. And I realized, oh, wait, this is awesome. Like, I don't have to do anything. And I'm making $1,000 a month off of this apartment. Let me do that again. And it was kind of like a snowball effect of buying properties and renting them out and then realizing it's a great source of passive income if you do it properly.
Right. Because it can go left.
It definitely can.
You have to do your research. So now, one thing I want to understand is that you started this before you got married.
Yes.
So how has being married helped or hindered your personal FIRE goals?
That's a great question. I've heard so many people at different, you know, FIRE meetups talk about, oh, it's easier for married people. And I would say it does help to have a partner, but I think you can absolutely do this as a single person because, again, you know, I would say most of my assets were acquired before marrying my husband or separate from what he was doing because he's very risk averse. And I always joke, like, if it was up to him, we wouldn't own any of the properties that we own because he always would find at the last minute, like, oh, but I just saw this article about why you shouldn't buy in this city or, oh, I just saw this article. I'd be like, dude, I've run the numbers. I did all the math. Like, this is a slam dunk. We need to do this. So I think having a partner helps in that. You know, I got laid off at one point right after we got married and it wasn't a big deal because I could just go on his insurance. Or when I decided to do a mini retirement in 2015, when I officially reached financial independence or we officially reached financial independence, there was that comfort of knowing he was still going to work his full-time job and I could have health insurance through his job. But the bottom line is I could have done it. You know, I always try to live my life in a way that you're going to be fine with or without the partner, but mm-hmm. it's definitely nice to have that additional safety net of a partner. So I think if you're single, you just have to build your freedom fund a bit differently so that you account for healthcare in particular. Mm-hmm. But that's really the main difference of not having someone who you can just hop on their healthcare once you retire or don't have a job.
Right. Is healthcare hard to get when you don't have a job?
So I haven't had to do it, but my understanding is that, especially in this political climate, it's getting more and more difficult. My brother is an entrepreneur, and I know he was on Obamacare. He still is. It seems like it's harder and harder with the current administration to try to get healthcare for a reasonable price if you're not employed. However, if you are fully retired and don't have a traditional W-2 income, that actually helps you with healthcare because the way that Obamacare works is that if you have no income, you basically get free healthcare. So pros and cons. I think it gets tricky for people who are entrepreneurs, or if you do have a reasonable or solid amount of income, it can get more expensive to have healthcare without a traditional W-2 job.
Right. I love how you call it a W-2 job. Mm-hmm. I love
that. Yeah, because there's tons of ways to make money.
Yeah.
But most of us just think of like a traditional 9-to-5 W-2 job. But like I said, my real estate income is equal to my W-2 income. And so for me, you know, they're both kind of jobs or income streams.
Right. So now for me, this whole FIRE movement, it sounds really scary and foreign when you look at financial independence, retire early. It's like, how sway? before you get old, like, I don't have to work. Like, it just kind of doesn't make sense because we've always been taught, like, you work the bulk of your life and then you retire and that's what you look forward to and blah, blah, blah. But what I want the listeners to understand is that you, Erica, are no different than any of us. Like, you're a Black woman in America trying to make it, trying not just to survive, but to thrive. And so when we come back from the break, Erica is going to give us the roadmap for how she built a net worth of over $1 million. Like, oh my God, I cannot wait to hear about this when we come back from the break. Hey guys, real quick, want to let you know the 30-minute coaching calls are no longer free, but they're not expensive at all. So for 30 minutes, you pay 40 bucks and I will give you my all. And I will really try to keep it within 30 minutes. I'm gonna try real hard, y'all. Y'all know I like to talk. Why else would I do a podcast? So I can run my mouth. No, but seriously, I love helping you guys. I love letting you know that you are not alone in these situations, that you aren't the first Black woman to go through it, and you definitely won't be the last. But hopefully one day we will all be the last and we can really work to change the environments that we have to work in order to survive. I don't want us to just survive. I want us to thrive, and we can. And we will. So if you find yourself stuck in a work situation, invest in yourself. Go to trillmba.com/coaching and let me help you. And I'm really good at what I do. It's a little gift. So if you need some help, I'm here. If you have a quick question, you can always email ask@trillmba.com. I'm always happy to answer emails. So with that said, let's get back into the show. All right, so I'm talking today with Erica Grant. I don't know if you've heard about this fire movement, but I totally want to be on fire. I totally want the option. Like, ladies, we love our options. So you have a net worth of over $1 million. What does that even mean? So, like, you're a millionaire now?
Yeah, I guess that is what it means. And it's, like I said, it wasn't anything hard or complicated. It was just saving and growing the gap. So net worth is essentially assets minus liabilities. So that means that after I take my assets and subtract my liabilities, I have an ending balance or net worth of over $1 million. And I guess that technically makes me and my husband millionaires.
So I wanted people to understand, like, net worth means the difference between assets and liabilities. So it's not like you have $1 million just sitting in the bank.
No, not at all. Yeah. So it's really, if I were to liquidate all of my assets and subtract everything that I owe, I would have $1 million in hard cash.
Right.
But the way you calculate next. Exactly. But I don't have $1 million sitting in the cash. I wish I did. I hope to soon. But yeah, I have tended to put more of my investments in real estate. So a big chunk, about 60% of my net worth is in real estate. And then the rest is in 401k, stocks, index funds, and other assets.
Okay, so let's talk about this idea of growing the gap between what you make and what you spend. How exactly did you approach that? Or, like, tell us more about this idea of a gap. I kind of want to call it gap theory.
A term I think I first heard from a woman named Paula Pant, who's amazing kind of trailblazer in the field of financial independence or the FIRE movement. Mm-hmm. She has a blog called Afford Anything, and she always is talking about growing the gap. And so most financial planners and experts talk about you need to create a budget and you need to track everything that you spend. And that's overwhelming to a lot of people, myself included. I don't want to sit there with a spreadsheet and type $2.59 for a latte. But when you think about it in a bigger picture sort of gap perspective, it's really just sitting down and saying, what do I make every month? And most people should be able to rattle that off without even thinking about it. Just take a piece of paper and say, okay, I make, let's say, $2,500 a month. And then you write down on the other side of the piece of paper, what are the expenses I know I'm going to have every month? So that's rent or mortgage, utilities, food, cell phone bill, cable, whatever those things are, you write them down. And so then you tally up your left column, which is your income. And then you tally up your right column, which is your expenses. And then you subtract your expenses from your income. And there should hopefully be a positive gap there. So let's say you make $2,500 a month, but you spend $2,000 a month. And so then your gap would be $500 a month. And that's money that you should be saving or investing. And the goal with financial independence or the FIRE movement is to grow that gap as far as you can. So most people in the FIRE movement, their goal is not to save 5 or 10% of their income, but most people are saving 50% of their income. And I know that sounds crazy, but it's totally doable if you really look at that gap and say, now where can I cut? Do I really need cable? Okay, that's $100. And now your gap just grew from 500 to 600. Okay, do I really need to go out with the homegirls to brunch every weekend? Or can we cook at one person's house and have everybody come over? Okay, maybe that'll save you $50. Then your gap is at 650. So it's really just taking that process of understanding income versus expenses and then trying to widen that gap as much as you can so that you can save as much as you can and grow your net worth as quickly as possible.
Okay, so that's the first key takeaway that we had talked about when we did our pre-production call. But you have a couple of other takeaways here that I want to get into, because that seems pretty simple. I think maybe I could do it. I don't know if I'm cutting my cable, I'm going to be honest. But maybe there's some other things I can cut out, like Chick-fil-A and Starbucks.
But, or, you know, in housing and transportation are generally the two biggest expenses for most people. So if you are tied to cable, which, you know, we switched to YouTube TV. Mm-hmm. You also have things like Sling. So I still have TV. It's just not paying Comcast $200 a month. It's $50. Like YouTube TV is literally $50 a month. And you get all the channels you would get with traditional cable. So yeah, but think about moving somewhere less expensive. That's a huge way to save and grow the gap.
So like instead of living in a nice high rise for $2,500 a month, maybe, you know, live somewhere a little not fancy and pay $1,500 a month, and then you've saved $1,000 a month.
Exactly. Exactly. Ah. And it's a short-term sacrifice so that you can have your freedom.
Right.
And so that's really the concept or the principle behind the FIRE movement. It's your money or your life. So for every choice you make, that $2,500 rent, think about it. That's a full month. I mean, you're basically spending your entire salary, if we go back to my initial scenario where the person makes $2,500 a month, on your rent. So that, and then you think about how many hours do I have to work to make that $2,500? That's 40 hours of work to live here. And so you start thinking about how many life hours do you want to trade for certain things? And once you start thinking like that, it helps you really prioritize what's important. Is freedom important, or is living in the fancy high rise important? And not saying you can't do that. It just might not be right now. You might have to sacrifice for 5 or 10 years so you can get that investment fund started. And then once your income goes up, you can move into a fancier place.
So the other key takeaway you talk about is building your own table. And you had said, focus on building your own table rather than resigning yourself to fighting for a seat at someone else's table.
Yeah.
Talk about what that means for you.
So for me, this is a result of 15 years working in corporate America and getting treated like shit, basically, where I finally realized, like, I'm never going to fit here. Right. I can thrive here. I can make a bunch of money, but this is not my house. And so I heard someone say, and I don't know who it was, but he was talking about how Black folks, a lot of times, if we think about how we're attacking corporate America, he's like, it's like you're going to somebody else's house and then you're mad that they're not treating you like a member of the family and offering you a seat. Like, you're always going to be a stranger because it's not your house. So the key is to build your own house, build your own table, and stop begging for scraps with someone else's. And I'm not saying you can't be a part of the corporate W-2 culture, because I still am. I love my job. But I've switched to using corporate America, but I don't depend on it, right? So my W-2 job fuels all of my dreams, my freedom, my travel, my investment fund. It helps me be more and more free. But I know that at any minute, I can walk away and tell them, fuck you, because I don't depend on you. I'm using you.
Right.
And when you have that perspective, it really frees you from begging for a seat at someone else's table. It's not our table. And until we build our own tables, have our own money, have our own infrastructure, I think it's going to be, it's kind of like a hamster wheel you're never going to get off of and a game you're never going to win.
That's fair. I think that's fair. I think especially right now, and I know, you know, a lot of people be like, well, Felicia, you want us to survive and thrive in corporate America. I'm like, yeah, but part of that thriving is knowing when to fold them and being able to fold them comfortably and being able to walk away from situations that don't benefit you any longer and not feeling any kind of way about it. And that's why this episode is so important. So the last thing you talked about as a key takeaway for you on your FIRE journey is that you've honed your intuition to make choices that feel good rather than look good. So what's the difference between something that feels good rather than looks good?
So this is different for every person, but I think a lot of us in our community, we love, you know, I don't know how to say this because I was guilty of this for so many years. Like I made the choices that look good on the resume where I would choose the guy who looked good on paper. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I knew he wasn't shit, or I knew he was not a nice person.
Right.
And one of the biggest elements of the FIRE movement, and really what I would say helps anyone be successful, is learning how to trust your own intuition and really follow it. So even if a job has a fancy name or the title seems great or the pay is amazing, if your gut is telling you this is not right for me, don't do it. Because ultimately the choices you make that aren't aligned with your inner compass, they're usually going to cost you more than they gain you.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, a huge element of becoming financially free and making good choices has been just relying on that intuition. Like when I bought my place in Harlem, it was a part of Harlem that was not yet hot. And a lot of people were like, why would you move over there? Why? But I just felt it. I was like, I feel like this is a really special little neighborhood. It's across from a beautiful park. Other people didn't see it, but I felt it. I saw it. And so I trusted that intuition. And like I said, that place quadrupled in value and will probably be a $1 million apartment in the next 10 years. So you have to learn how to, quite simply, make the choices that feel good rather than look good. Ideally, things will feel good and look good.
Right.
But quite a lot of times, all that glitters is not gold, and we know it, but we choose it anyways because we want to glitter, you know?
Right.
And that's a really slippery slope to being very unhappy.
Amen. It's the whole idea of, well, I went to school, I had a good job, I'm making this money, I bought the fancy car, I have a house. And then you're sitting in your house drinking bottles of wine trying to drown your sorrows away. Like,
exactly.
When you could have made different choices. What I love about your message is it sounds like to live a FIRE lifestyle, you have to change your mindset. And it's hard because we've all been taught this one path, right? And so many of us are working to make money so that we can buy more shit and, you know, look like we're happy. But we really need to shift our thinking in order to be financially independent. And don't get me wrong, I'm saying all this because I want to make a shift. And this is going to be hard for me because I live in an NBA bubble, right? Brunch every weekend, trips to wherever. Like, I'm about to get on a plane and go overseas for my friend's 40th birthday. And we're all like MBAs, right? So
yeah,
we about to blow some money. And for me, I'm about to blow some credit card.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I love to travel. I will treat myself to a 5-star hotel. Like, this is not about depriving yourself of the things that give you joy. It's about being strategic about what really gives me joy. One piece of advice, like write down the 10 things, top 10 things that give you joy in your life. For a lot of people, when you really think about what gives you joy in your life, most of them are not material things. But for me, travel, and it sounds like for you too, travel is one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely, spend your money on travel. If that is one of those things that gives you joy, but maybe for me, having a fancy car, I really don't give a crap. I do drive a nice car, but that's largely because of my husband, and he really values cars.
Right.
But if it was up to me, I would still be driving my Kia, you know, from back in the day. So because cars don't matter to me, but travel does. So it's like making those choices. You can have anything, but you can't have everything if you want to be free.
Right. Or you, if you plan it, right? Like if you plan it out, then you can over time build. So like for me, one of the things, I do want a Beamer, but I told myself a long time ago, you do not get a Beamer until you can buy a straight cash.
That's a great way to do it. Yeah.
It's just not worth it if I can't just buy a straight cash. On top of, I also have to be comfortable with the maintenance because my Honda oil change is less than $50. From what I understand, you get a Beamer, you got to go to the Beamer dealership, and then you got to pay like Lord knows how much. It's like hundreds of dollars for an oil change. So I'm like, until I can do that and not blink and not even think about it or feel a certain kind of way about it, it's going to be me and my Honda.
Mm-hmm. And but that's a smart way to approach it.
Yeah, but I really do want to make shifts and I want to get aggressive with paying off my debt, including my student loans and the house that I live in right now. Like, I want to be debt-free. And so after the break, I want us to talk about the exact steps that we need to take to get started on creating our own FIRE plan to freedom. So we're going to talk about that with Erica after the break. I want to share a review that I received on August 25th, 2019 by Lisa Brown 838. And I'm just so grateful, you guys. So the title of this review is Awesome and Much Needed and Thank You. Lisa says, thank you to this young lady. I love you for that. She says, thank you to this young lady. I wish I would have had such a form when I was younger. Every episode I've listened to, I also have experienced or knew someone who had a similar situation in the workplace, state government job. I enjoy listening to her show every week. Felicia is incredible, talented, fearless, and innovative. Well, thank you, girl. The information she gives her listeners as an MBA in corporate America or not, as a Black woman working, her show is extremely helpful, comforting, and real. Today's episode, 825-19, was phenomenal. Keep going, Felicia. I support your show 100%. Well, first off, Lisa, let me say thank you, girl. Like, thank you. I really hope that everything I put into this show is super helpful to everyone. And it has come to my attention that sometimes when I talk to you guys, you know, offline, off the record, that you feel like when I'm on the show, I'm actually sharing your specific situation. And I want you to know, if you ever hear yourself in the show, that is because there were many, 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 many people that were going through very, very similar things. And as Lisa has pointed out, there's so many similar situations in the workplace. So I do this and I create every episode with the multitudes in mind. And so if you do contact me for coaching or guidance, or you send me an email, just know that you are one of many. And it has come up so much that I have to address it in the show. And I will continue to do that because you are not alone. It is not only you going through these situations at work. And you would be surprised at how many times You could take one person's story and just swap names, and it's the same exact story. It's pretty scary, you guys. But I want you to stay positive. I want you to keep leaving me reviews. If you listen on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you can leave a review, wherever you can rate the show, wherever you can share the show, please continue to do that. Because my only goal is getting the information that you need to help you survive and thrive in corporate America out into the world so that we can all have somewhere we can go and get the help that we really, truly need without feeling a certain kind of way or without being dinged. So I love you guys. Have a great week. And let's get back to the show. Okay. So I'm here with Erica Grant, millionaire extraordinaire, but she just actually just saved her money and invested. And over time, she accumulated a net worth of over $1 million, which I think is amazing. But first, I want us to walk through the steps on how to think through a plan for ourselves. And so Erica's outlined a number of steps here that she's going to walk us through. So get your pen and paper. If you're driving, just pay attention. And I'm sure I will create a freebie from this episode because there's a lot of great advice that Erica's sharing. So number one, you say you have to do a money audit. What is a money audit?
So the money audit is really just another way of saying, understand your money. So there's several steps to it. A lot of, and again, I'll preface this by saying I'm not a financial planner advisor. So this is just my own personal advice. You know, take it with your own wisdom and grain of salt. Mm-hmm. But really the first step with a money audit is what we discussed earlier, doing that income versus expenses calculation. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be a complex Excel spreadsheet. You really just have to have an understanding of what am I making versus what am I spending and what is that gap.
Right.
Once you know what that gap is, the goal is to either grow it, or if you have a deficit, which a lot of people is, and that would mean you're spending more than you make, then you got to think about what can I adjust to turn that around. Because if you continue to have a deficit, you're never going to be free. You're always going to be on that hamster wheel of trying to figure out, you know, how am I going to pay this bill? How am I going to pay that bill?
Right.
And the goal is to have so much money, you're not even thinking about your bills. You're thinking about how can I invest my money optimally so that it grows as quick as possible.
Right. And then you mentioned about automating and yes. What does that mean? Automate and maximize your savings.
Yeah. So that's another key point of the money audit. Once you realize what your gap is, so let's say you have a $500 surplus every month after you pay all your core expenses, then my biggest piece of advice is to automate and maximize your savings. So automate just means that rather than you having to make a decision to put that $500 every month into savings, have it set up automatically from your bank. So you know your paycheck comes every other Friday. And so set up an automatic transfer from your checking to your savings every other Friday or Saturday or whatever day you want for that $500 to automatically go from checking savings. A lot of people call this the pay yourself first method, but it's so key because then before you can even touch that money or see it, it's automatically into your savings or investment account. And then the maximized portion of that is making sure you're getting the biggest bang for your buck with your savings. So finding a high interest savings account or something like that so that you're getting the highest percentage return on that saving. Mm-hmm. And another key aspect of savings is making sure you have an emergency fund. So many people in this country don't even have $400 to cover an unexpected expense.
Right.
And really your goal should be to have at least 3 to 6 months of expenses saved in an emergency fund. And that's something liquid, like a savings account that you can tap right away. So this isn't money you have in a real estate investment or in a stock, but something you have that you can, if God forbid something terrible happens, you can tap it right away.
Okay.
Especially with the recession seeming to be coming any day now. Really, really important to have that emergency fund.
Right. And we should have learned that with the government shutdown. It was so sad to see so many people like I didn't get paid for a month and I'm going to be evicted.
Yeah, it's really sad.
I was like, dang, like we really are living paycheck to paycheck out here.
Mm-hmm.
So in that money audit, you also mentioned maxing out your 401k.
Yes. And so if you do have a traditional W-2 job, the 401k, if there is a company match, is a great investment and retirement vehicle just because it's tax-free money. So yeah, after building that emergency fund, make sure you're maxing out your 401k so that at the very least you're getting that company match because that's just free money. And compound interest is, I think somebody said it's the eighth wonder of the world. So the earlier you can start investing in your 401k, maxing it out and getting that match, you'll be amazed by how quickly it just grows and grows and grows.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one aspect of your retirement account or kind of plan that you really don't have to worry about because it'll be automated for you. And to piggyback on that, for someone, if you do not have a traditional 401k plan or your company doesn't match, index funds are another really great investment vehicle that I recently discovered a couple of years ago just by listening to a bunch of wealthy people. And I found that every single rich person I know is all about the index funds. So then I was like, okay, I need to learn about these index funds. And essentially, it's a really low-fee, safe way to invest your money in the stock market without investing in individual stocks. You're instead investing in the entire index of stocks. So two very popular ones, one with Vanguard is the VTSAX.
Mm-hmm.
And Fidelity also has some really great funds that are zero-fee index funds. And you can put any extra money you have that you don't necessarily want to put into a 401k, or if you have more than you can even put in your 401k, put it in an index fund. And that's money you don't have to wait till you're 65 to take that out. You can take it out at any time, but you still can take advantage of that compound interest that you get from a 401k or other stock investment.
Okay. You also talk about during that money audit, like let's say you do have a negative gap. You talk about passive income and non-W-2 income. So like, what are some things? You say real estate, but what if you don't have good credit?
That's a really good question. Yeah, if you don't have good credit, investing in real estate can be tricky. But one thing that a lot of people don't think about is, let's say you have a 2-bedroom apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And this is scrappy, but I know so many people do it. It's called house hacking. Rent out that other bedroom. So if your rent is $1,000 a month and you have a second bedroom, see if you can rent out that second bedroom for $700. And there you've just reduced your expenses. Now you're only paying $300 a month to live there. What can you do? That's basically increasing your income by $700.
Right.
So that's one way to, most people, even if you have bad credit, you can rent an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And if even renting an apartment is out of reach. I think with your listeners, though, most everybody's MBA is people who have good jobs. So usually, even if you have rough credit, and I say this as a landlord, I'm dealing with someone who has rough credit, but they have a great job, seem like a good person, I might take a chance on them for a rental. And even with purchasing these days, the credit requirements have gotten a little bit less stringent than they were during the Great Recession. So most people should be able to buy. You're just going to have a slightly higher interest rate. But the goal, if you're going to do rental or real estate, I would say is get as many bedrooms as you can, up to 4 bedrooms. And then you can always rent out the other bedrooms, or you've optimized the amount of rent you're able to charge just by having more bedrooms.
Mm.
And then other ways, just, you know, think about side hustles. We're living in a hustle economy. So whether it's driving for Lyft or Uber, doing consulting on the side and anything you feel like you have some expertise in, selling things on eBay and flipping them. My husband had a whole little side hustle going for a couple of years. He would buy, you know, hot sneakers that would drop in Atlanta, but other cities wouldn't get them. And then he'd flip them and sell them on eBay for double what he had bought them for. So
uh-huh.
There's always little things. If you're passionate about something like shoes or you have an inside scoop on cars, think of ways that you can turn that into a source of income for yourself. And then you're growing your gap and all that extra money. Think of it as, this is my freedom fund. Not more money to spend, but more money to save and invest that you can get free.
Okay. Now, that's step one, doing that money audit and really working on growing the gap and then having your emergency fund and then maximizing your investments. But now the second step you want us to take is an internal audit. So
yes.
see, now you want to go into Dr. Phil Oprah territory.
Well, I mean, we talked about it earlier. A big part of this FIRE movement is changing how you think. Mm-hmm. So you beyond just changing how you spend your money, you have to think about what are your goals? And I'm talking like at a deep soul level. What makes you come alive? And how can you do more of that? Mm-hmm. So for me, the things I love to do, I love to read. I love to go on long walks. I love to travel. And so I love to be able to spend time with my family. Mm-hmm. So once I was financially free, I was able to choose jobs. I only take roles that are remote. I'm still making that W2 check. I still love my corporate role, but it's remote so that I can work remotely from my grandfather's house for 2 weeks and help him out. Or I can work remotely from Dubai, which I did once. So that level of, you can then merge your financial and career goals with things that make your soul come alive, and it makes you a better employee, and it makes your life more meaningful. Mm-hmm. And then also really making a list of what you naturally excel at and then figuring out ways to do more of that, because money and prosperity really do flow when you're doing things that you're naturally good at. So just having that awareness, you know, what sets you on fire, what makes you come alive, and what are you naturally good at? And then trying to figure out how can I do more of that.
That is good advice. I will say for me, I've been very hesitant around things I'm naturally good at. I think it's been hard to be honest with myself. Like, you know, you're really good at helping people get through and think through work situations. Mm-hmm. And because it comes so easy, I take it for granted. And like, even the conversation we had, right, about, you know, a coworker and how you should maybe think a little differently about it. And you're like, and I was like, this is just what I do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then think about, do I monetize that? What does that look like? So it can be a struggle. I just want people to think about it and then figure out, like, also, how do you do more of that to maximize your FU fund. Mm-hmm. I like calling it an FU fund.
we can call it that, yeah.
Because it's like you middle fingers up. You can say that. You know, there's all the PC ways, but I really truly at some point, you know, deep in my soul, in the back of my mind, want to walk around work being like, fuck you. Like, you know, and not in a way that I actually say that out loud, but just the freedom of knowing, like, that day that comes where you've had enough, mm-hmm. you don't have to swallow it. You don't have to sit there and be like, damn, I gotta pay Mr. Cooper.
Exactly, yeah.
You can just be like, I'm out, y'all have a good life, and not even worry about it. But the third and last thing, you talk about doing a relationship audit.
Yes, what? And this one is a little bit unusual when you're talking about finances. But for me, I've noticed as part of becoming financially free, I've also broken free of relationships. And I think it's a nice segue from the internal audit, because once you really evaluate who you are, what motivates you, what makes you come alive, you also start to realize you might be surrounded by some assholes or people who want to rain on your parade or snuff out your fire. And I think it's crucial to be ruthless about your circle. So you need to remove and avoid people who don't embody the values that are important to you. So if you did your internal audit and realized, you know what, freedom is really important to me, or family is really important to me, or I'm living in a beautiful place where there's lots of other people who look like me is really important to me. Mm. But maybe you're dating someone who is like, no, I want to live in Alaska. And, you know, like, you have to make those choices of removing people from your circle who aren't going to help you get where you're trying to go. And then that's also part of honing your intuition so that you are positioned to make the right choices in terms of career, personal life, and investments. You need to be around people who are encouraging you and loving you and not pulling you down.
Right. So that friend that every Saturday. Like, let's go to brunch, ordering bottomless mimosas. Let's get the Bloody Marys. Because, you know, half the check is the liquor, right? Like, when you when you're brunching. Mm-hmm. So, and you tell them, like, hey, I'm actually cutting back on spending money on drinks because that's $30, $50 I can put away every week. I'll still come to brunch, but I'm not going to buy drinks. And then if they pop back with, what, you know, we going to split this check, like, blah, 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 like, why are you tripping, yada, yada, then maybe you shouldn't go to brunch with that person anymore.
That's a great example. Or someone who, let's say you're choosing between two jobs and your heart is really drawing you towards the job that's maybe at a lesser known company or maybe pays a little bit less, and you have a friend who's like, why would you do that? Like, that's whack. Why would you, you know, do people who question you, your choices because of how they look versus supporting you and saying, you know what? I got you. Whatever you feel like is best for you. And I'm not saying surround yourself with people who just are yes men and yes women who will just tell you to do whatever you say you're going to do. But you know the difference when someone is questioning what you're choosing based on society and appearances versus really trying to be in your corner.
Right.
I said those are the most insidious types of relationships that you want to be careful of.
Right.
They'll get you off track real quick.
And just clearing yourself of toxic people in your life makes you happier. It really does.
So true. It is so true.
Like, I've been very fortunate. There are very few people who have self-selected themselves out of my life. And I'm not the person that will kick you out per se. Like, you decide, like, you want to block me or, you know, you tell me some ish, like, I'm not talking to you, then bye. You know, like, and then it's funny because then people wake up and they're like, oh, I should call Felicia. I should talk to Felicia. Felicia done moved on. And she ain't mad. She
exactly.
just got shit to do.
Exactly. Yeah, and I love that. She ain't mad. Like, you don't have to be mad. It doesn't have to be ugly. It's just, yeah, moving on.
Yeah, got stuff to do. So
peacefully.
The biggest takeaway that I have gotten from this conversation today is that I need to make my plan and I need to start. And I think that's the hardest part.
Yeah. It's never too late to start. And I'm guessing most of the folks listening to this podcast are on the younger end of the spectrum, so it's definitely a perfect time to start and really just take stock of where you are and then figure out where you want to be. And you don't have to retire completely. Like I mentioned earlier, I retired in 2015 and then went back to work because I was bored. I was like, I'm in my 30s. I don't have shit to do. I was volunteering. And I then was able, though, to choose a role that felt right.
Right.
So it wasn't the most prestigious company. It wasn't the fanciest sounding role. But I just was like, I like these people. I like this role. The money's right. And it's literally been one of the best jobs I've ever had. And I could see myself staying in this role 5-10 years, no problem, because I was able to choose what felt right versus what looked right. And that's what financial freedom will do for you. It doesn't mean you have to retire, you have to quit, but it gives you that freedom to do that if you're in a role that doesn't feel right. And to choose something that maybe pays a bit less, but, you know, will give you a learning experience you want or working with people who you like or has room for or potential for growth. So the real key takeaway is freedom. And the more you take ownership of your finances and make choices that grow that gap, the more you're going to have freedom to make the choices that you want to do and live the life that you want to live.
So my last question to you, Erica, before we get out of here is, you're in your mid-30s, correct?
I'm in my 30s, yes.
Okay. She's like, I'm not telling how old I am. But the cool thing is, you're financially free and you're in your 30s. So how long did it take you, once you really got serious and made a plan, how long did it take you to get to 2015 and be like, oh, I can walk away?
I would say for me, it was like a 10-year journey, if you want to talk about from when I bought my first real estate property, which would have been 2005. Mm-hmm. And then I call it retired. So I retired being financially free in 2015.
So 10 years.
10 years. So one thing I forgot to mention, which is important with the FIRE movement, there's different routes you can take. I chose real estate. Mm-hmm. But the key thing is to have your passive income exceed your expenses. So for me, I was able to have 7 rental units that the income from those rental units after my expenses is more than my living expenses. Mm. And so for me, that's financial freedom.
Right.
Other people in the FIRE movement choose the route of investment. So they'll say, take your annual expenses, multiply that by 25, and then that's your FIRE fund or your FIRE number.
Right.
And that's how much you need to have in investments so that then you can retire and then you drop 4% of those investments each year. I personally am doing kind of a hybrid approach where I have my rental income, and I really feel like real estate helps you get there quicker mm-hmm. because you don't have to wait to build a $1.5 million investment portfolio.
Right.
You can buy several rental units and have thousands of dollars in income right away. So there's multiple paths to get there. But for me, 10 years of strategically buying real estate and then growing that gap and being really mindful about living below my means,
mm-hmm.
avoiding lifestyle creep is also really crucial. So mm-hmm. just because you get that job making $50,000 more doesn't mean you have to double your living expenses.
Exactly.
By staying in the same apartment or same house and then just saving and investing that extra money. And if you do that even for 5 years or 10 years, all of a sudden you look up and you're like, wow, my expenses are $1,000 a month, but I'm making $150,000 a year. And then you're free. The lower you can keep your expenses, the quicker you'll get to financial freedom.
So any advice, and I want you to think about like this, go back, I guess now it'd be about 15 years ago. And you were like deciding, okay, I'm going to really get serious about this. What advice would you give your then self from everything you've learned?
So, I mean, there's so many things I would say, but the main thing is just the importance of listening to my own inner guidance. Because I feel like I spent a lot of my 20s looking outside of myself for validation. So I picked the impressive school, the impressive job, the guy who looked great on paper. And a lot of those choices made me very miserable. So once I kind of hit rock bottom on trying to please other people and do the things that looked good to the outside world, I came to the conclusion that I really wanted to live a life that felt good rather than one that looked good. And I would urge everyone, the faster you can come to that realization, I think the faster you'll get to that place of, I don't give a fuck, I'm going to do what's right for me. And from there, I think possibilities just open up in a miraculous way. So yeah, hone those internal listening skills, really pay attention to what feels right to you and not just what other people are expecting or what looks good, and make choices from that place. And I don't think you can go wrong. And obviously, since we're talking about money, save and invest everything you can while you're young, because your bills are just going to get more as you get older. So I had a lot of friends who would put off paying their student loans for as long as possible or pay the minimum on this, minimum of that. I think that's a bad strategy. When you're in your early 20s, you're cool sleeping on a couch somewhere or living on ramen noodles.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when you really should be, you know, taking advantage of the fact that I don't mind living like a college student. So let me throw as much money as I can against these debts. Because once you get older and you have kids and you have other responsibilities, you won't have as much flexibility on what you can cut. So save as much as you can, as early as you can, and take advantage of compound interest.
Do you have a specific pinpoint time in your life where it kind of clicked for you to really listen to that voice inside you and block out, you know, the things outside of you? Do you remember that by any chance?
For me, it was when I was in a role. I took a role and moved. My husband and I moved from Atlanta to Miami for this role that looked amazing on paper.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a lot of little red flags that had warned me that maybe it wasn't the right role. And it was so terrible that it really made me, I mean, I had to have a come to Jesus moment where I was like, I can't keep making choices like this for the title and for the money. Because every day I went to that job, I felt like I was losing a piece of myself.
Ooh.
And selling my soul, literally. But I had signed a 1-year employment contract. So I literally had a countdown on my computer. This was ironically 2013, 2014-ish. And then after that job is when I became financially free and retired, because it was kind of hitting that moment of realizing how off course choices had made me, choices that looked good
mm-hmm.
rather than those that felt good, that I really had to go inside and say, okay, this is not working. And so I have to choose a different way to navigate my life. And once I started doing that, everything just fell into place. But I think everyone has their own point where they hit that. And oftentimes it's through negative means. I hope for other people, maybe you have more positive aha moments. But for me, it was really coming to a point where I realized all these choices I had made had put me in a place that was really bad. And so I had to start making different choices for my life, you know, because I don't think I could have continued living the way I was living. It just was miserable. So, I had to make a change.
And so I hope that people really hear that, as far as don't wait until you get to a miserable point to realize, like, you should listen to yourself now. It's that thing where, you know how your little voice in your head will be like, hey, grab your umbrella. And then you look outside and you're like, but it's like beautiful and sunny. Like, you know, I'm only going to be gone for like an hour. It'll be fine. And then 3 hours later, you're walking out of the grocery store. It's thunderstorming, raining. And guess what you don't have? Your umbrella.
Gotta listen to that little voice always.
Yeah. Erica, this has been amazing. You've given us a lot to think about, a lot of work to do for many of us. For those of you who are already on this movement, kudos, because I wanted this kitchen that I have. And, you know, that feeling of, oh, but I've worked so hard, I should just have it. And I think I've just been letting life live me, and I haven't really been focused on living the life that I envision for myself. And I think this is going to encourage me, and I hope it encourages the listeners to, like, really, you know, do that internal work and use this information to get started on living your best life. Because that's what this is all about. Like, yeah, it's great to excel at work when you're happy, but what good is excelling at work and thriving at work if you're just, like, deep down, like, this ain't it. And you feel stuck because you ain't got no money, because you didn't create a positive gap between what you make and what you spend. So listen, guys, this one you should go back and listen to twice and take some notes. And make a plan, like, make it today. And so, Erica, if people have questions, how can they reach out to you?
So I do have a blog, but it's still private. So at this point, the best way is probably LinkedIn. So Erica Grant, I'm on LinkedIn. And I'll leave my email address. So if you want to share it, people are welcome to email me as well. And I'm happy to help direct people to resources within the FIRE community, and however I can help, I'm here. I want to get as many of us free as possible. So feel free to reach out.
I love that. And what I love most about when you contacted me and told me all about this, I was like, so you got a book? You trying to sell something? You're like, nah, I just want people to really experience this life I'm living.
Yes.
And I love that. And I appreciate that. But I do hope that you put pen to paper and you tell your story and you explain to people, like, you're no different than me. You can do this too. I think that's so important. So I hope that I can encourage you to do that as well.
I appreciate it. I'm going to get the blog is there. I just got to publish it and make it public. So you'll be the first to know.
Yes.
When it's ready to share.
Yes. And I will let my listeners know, because we're going to keep up with you. We want to see you when you make 10 million, and then when you get to 20 and 30 million.
Yes.
Thank you, Erica, for coming on the show. In the show notes, I will leave your LinkedIn and information. And thank you for sharing all of the resources. I'm also going to share that in the sources. So you guys, as always, if you need some help or advice about a specific work situation, go to trillmba.com/coaching to schedule a 30-minute strategy call with me to walk through your specific work situation. And as you notice, these calls are no longer free because I got to get my fire on, y'all. So you're going to have to give me a little money for my time. That's fair, right, Erica?
Totally fair. I love it. I love it.
And if you have a quick question or concern, you can always email at ask@trillmba.com. I'm happy to either help answer your question or connect you to the right person like Erica if I don't have the answer. Again, that's trillmba.com/coaching to schedule a 30-minute career strategy call with me, or ask@trillmba.com to submit your question, concern, or if you want to just shoot me a note and tell me how much you love the show. I love it. Or if you want to shoot me a note and say, hey, your show is trash, but here's what I think you should talk about. I like that too. I take feedback. Just don't cuss me out, okay? So, Erica, you have been absolutely amazing. Thank you for coming on the show. If you learn any new stuff, promise you'll come back and you'll share it with us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it and I love what you're doing. So keep up the good work.
Thank you. So until next time, you guys, keep it trill. The Trill MBA Show is a Fair World Corp. LLC production. Executive produced by Felicia and Rose Inuha. Sound design and editing by Chris Mann with Podshaper. Theme music is Kick Push by Ryan Little. Keep it trill every day, y'all.